discovered some ancient and modern shipwrecks and mischances of various people who were destroyed and hopelessly ruined because they paid little attention to it. And then, as well as we can, we must treat of its advantages and uses, after a discussion of which we shall know better how we ought to seek after it and practice it, by the consideration of the importance of its value and grace. For it is no ordinary virtue, nor one which can be freely gained by merely human efforts, unless they are aided by the divine blessing. For we read that this is also reckoned among the noblest gifts of the Spirit by the Apostle. To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, and shortly after, to another the discerning of spirits. Then, after the complete catalogue of spiritual gifts, he subjoins, "But all these worketh one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." 79. You see then that the gift of discretion is no earthly thing and no slight matter, but the greatest prize of divine grace. And unless a monk has pursued it with all zeal and secured a power of discerning with unerring judgment the spirits that rise up in him, he is sure to go wrong, as if in the darkness of night and dense blackness, and not merely to fall down dangerous pits and precipices, but also to make frequent mistakes in matters that are plain and straightforward. Chapter 2. What discretion alone can give a monk, and a discourse of the Blessed Antony on this subject. And so I remember that while I was still a boy, in the region of Thebaid, where the Blessed Antony lived, 80, the elders came to him to inquire about perfection. And though the conference lasted from evening till morning, the greatest part of the night was taken up with this question. For it was discussed at great length what virtue or observance should preserve a monk always unharmed by the snares and deceits of the devil, and carry him forward on a sure and right path, and with firm step to the heights of perfection. And when each one gave his opinion according to the bent of his own mind, and some made it consist in zeal and fasting and vigils, because a soul that had been brought low by these, and so obtained purity of heart and body, will be the more easily united to God. Others, in despising all things, as if the mind were utterly deprived of them, it would come the more freely to God, as if henceforth there were no snares to entangle it. Others thought that withdrawal from the world was the thing needful, i.e., solitude and the secrecy of the hermit's life, living in which a man may more readily commune with God, and cling more especially to him. Others laid down that the duties of charity, i.e., of kindness, should be practiced, because the Lord in the gospel promised more especially to give the kingdom to these, when he said, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me to drink," etc. 81. And when in this fashion they declared that by means of different virtues a more certain approach to God could be secured, and the greater part of the night had been spent in this discussion, then at last the Blessed Antony spoke and said, "All these things which you have mentioned are indeed needful and helpful to those who are thirsting for God and desirous to approach him. But countless accidents and the experience of many people will not allow us to make the most important of gifts consist in them. For often when men are more strict in fasting or in vigils, and nobly withdraw into a solitude, and aim at depriving themselves of all their goods so absolutely that they do not suffer even a day's allowance of food or a single penny to remain to them, and when they fulfill all the duties of kindness with the utmost devotion, yet still we have seen them suddenly deceived, so that they could not bring the work they had entered upon to a suitable close, but brought their exalted fervor and praiseworthy manner of life to a terrible end. Wherefore we shall be able clearly to recognize what it is which mainly leads to God, if we trace out with greater care the reason of their downfall and deception. For when the works of the above-mentioned virtues were abounding in them, discretion alone was wanting, and allowed them not to continue even to the end. Nor can any other reason for their falling off be discovered, except that as they were not sufficiently instructed by their elders, they could not obtain judgment and discretion, which passing by excess on either side, teaches a monk always to walk along the royal road, and does not suffer him to be puffed up on the right hand of virtue, i.e., from excess of zeal, to transgress the bounds of due moderation and foolish presumption, nor allows him to be enamored of slackness, and turn aside to the vices on the left hand, i.e., under pretext of controlling the body, to grow slack with the opposite spirit of lukewarmness. For this is discretion, which is termed in the gospel the eye and light of the body, according to the Savior's saying, "The light of thy body is thine eye, but if thy eye be single, thy whole body will be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body will be full of darkness." 82. Because as it discerns all the thoughts and actions of men, it sees and overlooks all things which should be done. But if in any man this is evil, i.e., not fortified by sound judgment and knowledge, or deceived by some error and presumption, it will make our whole body full of darkness, i.e., it will strengthen all our mental vision and our actions, as they will be involved in the darkness of vices and the gloom of disturbances. For, says he, if the light which is in thee be darkness, how great will that darkness be? 83. For no one can doubt that when the judgment of our heart goes wrong and is overwhelmed by the night of ignorance, our thoughts and deeds, which are the result of deliberation and discretion, must be involved in the darkness of still greater sins. Chapter 3. Of the error of Saul and of Ahab, by which they were deceived through lack of discretion. Lastly, the man who, in the judgment of God, was the first to be worthy of the kingdom of his people Israel, because he was lacking in this eye of discretion, was as if his whole body were full of darkness, actually cast down from the kingdom, while being deceived by the darkness of this light, and in error, he imagined that his own offerings were more acceptable to God than obedience to the command of Samuel, and met with an occasion of falling in that very matter in which he had hoped to propitiate the divine majesty. 84. And ignorance, I say, of this discretion led Ahab, the king of Israel, after a triumph and splendid victory, which had been granted to him by the favor of God, to fancy that mercy on his part was better than the stern execution of the divine command. And as it seemed to him a cruel rule, and moved by this consideration, while he desired to temper a bloody victory with mercy, he was on account of his indiscriminating clemency rendered full of darkness in his whole body, and condemned irreversibly to death. 85. Chapter 4. What is said of the value of discretion in Holy Scripture? Such is discretion, which is not only the light of the body, but also called the sun by the apostle. As it is said, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." 86. It is also called the guidance of our life, as it is said, "Those who have no guidance fall like leaves." 87. It is most truly named counsel, without which the authority of Scripture allows us to do nothing, so that we are not even permitted to take that spiritual wine which maketh glad the heart of man. 88. Without its regulating control, as it is said, "Do everything with counsel, drink thy wine with counsel." 89. And again, "Like a city that has its walls destroyed and is not fenced in, so is a man who does anything without counsel." 90. And how injurious the absence of this is to a monk, the illustration and figure in the passage quoted shows by comparing it to a city that is destroyed and without walls. Herein lies wisdom, herein lies intelligence and understanding, without which our inward house cannot be built, nor can spiritual riches be gathered together. As it is said, "A house is built with wisdom, and again it is set up with intelligence. With understanding the storehouses are filled with all precious riches and good things." 91. This, I say, is solid food, which can only be taken by those who are full-grown and strong. As it is said, "But solid food is for full-grown men, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil." 92. And it is shown to be useful and necessary for us, only insofar as it is in accordance with the Word of God and its powers, as is said, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and reaching even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." 93. And by this it is clearly shown that no virtue can possibly be perfectly acquired or continue without the grace of discretion. And so by the judgment of the blessed Antony, as well as of all others, it has been laid down that it is discretion which leads a fearless monk by fixed stages to God, and preserves the virtues mentioned above continually intact, by means of which one may ascend with less weariness to the extreme summit of perfection, and without which even those who toil most willingly cannot reach the heights of perfection. For discretion is the mother of all virtues, as well as their guardian and regulator. Chapter 5. Of the Death of the Old Man Heron. And to support this judgment delivered of old by the blessed Antony, and the other father by a modern instance, as we promised to do, remember what you lately saw happen before your very eyes. I mean, how the old man Heron, 94, only a very few days ago was cast down by an illusion of the devil from the heights to the depths, a man whom we remember to have lived for 50 years in this desert, and to have preserved a strict continence with especial severity, and who aimed at the secrecy of solitude with marvelous fervor beyond all those who dwell there. By what device, then, or by what method was he deluded by the deceiver after so many labors, and falling by a most grievous downfall, struck with profound grief all those who live in this desert? Was it not because, having too little of the virtue of discretion, he preferred to be guided by his own judgment, rather than to obey the counsels and conference of the brethren and the regulations of the elders? Since he ever practiced incessant abstinence and fasting with such severity, and persisted in the secrecy of solitude in a monastic cell so constantly that not even the observance of the Easter festival could ever persuade him to join in the feast with the brethren, when in accordance with the annual observance all the brethren remained in the church, and he alone would not join them for fear lest he might seem to relax in some degree from his purpose by taking only a little pulse. And deceived by this presumption, he received with the utmost reverence an angel of Satan as an angel of light, and with blind slavishness obeyed his commands and cast himself down a well, so deep that the eye could not pierce its depths, nothing doubting of the promise of the angel who had assured him that the merits of his virtues and labors were such that he could not possibly run any risk, and that he might prove the truth of this most certainly by experimenting on his own safety. In the dead of night he was deluded enough to cast himself into the above-mentioned well, to prove indeed the great merit of his virtue, if he should come out thence unhurt. And when, by great efforts on the part of the brethren, he had been got out already almost dead, on the third day afterward he expired, and what was still worse, persisted in his obstinate delusion, so that not even the experience of his death could persuade him that he had been deceived by the craft of devils. Wherefore, in spite of the merits of his great labors and the number of years which he had spent in the desert, those who with compassion and the greatest kindness pitied his end could hardly obtain from Abbot Paphnutius, 95, that he should not be reckoned among suicides, and be deemed unworthy of the memorial and oblation for those at rest. 96. Chapter 6. Of the Destruction of Two Brethren for Lack of Discretion. What shall I say of those two brethren who lived beyond that desert of the Thebaid, where once the blessed Antony dwelt, and not being sufficiently influenced by careful discrimination, when they were going through the vast and extended waste, determined not to take any food with them, except such as the Lord himself might provide for them. And when, as they wandered through the deserts and were already fainting from hunger, they were spied at a distance by the Mazices, M-A-Z-I-C-E-S, 97, a race which is even more savage and ferocious than almost all wild tribes, for they are not driven to shed blood, as other tribes are, from desire of spoil, but from simple ferocity of mind. And when these, acting contrary to their natural ferocity, met them with bread, one of the two, as discretion came to his aid, received it with delight and thankfulness, as if it were offered to him by the Lord, thinking that the food had been divinely provided for him, and that it was God's doing that those who always delighted in bloodshed had offered the staff of life to men who were already fainting and dying. But the other refused the food because it was offered to him by men and died of starvation. And though this sprang in the first instance from a persuasion that was blameworthy, yet one of them by the help of discretion got the better of the idea, which he had rashly and carelessly conceived. But the other, persisting in his obstinate folly, and being utterly lacking in discretion, brought upon himself that death which the Lord would have averted, as he would not believe that it was owing to a divine impulse that the fierce barbarians forgot their natural ferocity and offered them bread instead of a sword. Chapter 7. Of an illusion into which another fell for lack of discretion. Why also should I speak of one, whose name we had rather not mention as he is still alive, who for a long while received a devil in the brightness of an angelic form, and was often deceived by countless revelations from him, and believed that he was a messenger of righteousness? For when these were granted, every night he provided a light in his cell without the need of any lamp. At last he was ordered by the devil to offer up to God his own son, who was living with him in the monastery, in order that his merits might by this sacrifice be made equal to those of the patriarch Abraham. And he was so far seduced by his persuasion that he would really have committed the murder unless his son had seen him getting ready the knife and sharpening it with unusual care, and looking for the chains with which he meant to tie him up for the sacrifice when he was going to offer him up, and had fled away in terror with a presentiment of the coming crime. Chapter 8. Of the Fall and Deception of a Monk of Mesopotamia. It is a long business, too, to tell the story of the deception of that monk of Mesopotamia, who observed an abstinence that could be imitated by but few in that country, which he had practiced for many years concealed in his cell, and at last was so deceived by revelations and dreams that came from the devil, that after so many labors and good deeds, in which he had surpassed all those who dwelt in the same parts, he actually relapsed miserably into Judaism and circumcision of the flesh. For when the devil, by accustoming him to visions through the wish to entice him to believe a falsehood in the end, had, like a messenger of truth, revealed to him for a long while what was perfectly true, at length he showed him Christian folk, together with the leaders of our religion and creed, viz., apostles and martyrs, in darkness and filth, and foul and disfigured with all squalor, and on the other hand the Jewish people with Moses, the patriarchs and prophets, dancing with all joy and shining with dazzling light, and so persuaded him that if he wanted to share this reward and bliss, he must at once submit to circumcision. And so none of these would have been so miserably deceived if they had endeavored to obtain a power of discretion. Thus the mischances and trials of many show how dangerous it is to be without the grace of discretion. Chapter 9. A Question About the Acquirement of True Discretion. To this, Germanus. It has been fully and completely shown both by recent instances and by the decisions of the ancients how discretion is in some sense the fountainhead and the root of all virtues. We want then to learn how it ought to be gained, or how we can tell whether it is genuine.